Praise God. I bring greeting from my family first, and my wife is at this time, she's praying for all of us, and so she sent her greetings, and I greet you in the name of Jesus on behalf of her. My name is Tariku Fufa. I am Ethiopian, and in Ethiopia, every name has its own meaning, so the meaning of my name is History Maker. So I try to make history for Jesus. My wife's name is Buze, and Buze means plenty, so she's my plenty. I learned some few words of Chinese. I know this English service, but just a ni ho. And so when I finish, I know what to say. Sheshen. Okay. In my mother tongue or in Ethiopian language, Amharic, we greet people by saying salam. Salam. Okay. Having said so, I would like to thank the leadership of this church for allowing me to come this morning and speak to you. I also would like to just appreciate my best friend, John Ellis, a colleague in the Global Student Movement who connected me with this community and this church this morning. And then here in front are my host family here in Atlanta, Pastor Ed and his wife, and then also Pastor Myrtle. And so without them, it is impossible for me to come here and speak. So I would like to say thank you to them. Having said so, I want to just read from Acts chapter 20, verse 24, once again. I would like to read from English Standard Version. But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God. Three highlights from this specific verse. By the way, this verse has been my favorite part of the scripture for the last 17 years. And so every time I think of this verse, the three highlights I'm going to share with you this morning comes to me. The first one is, what is the gospel of grace? For Paul, when he said the gospel of grace, he has a lot of things in his mind. I'm going to speak. And then the second highlight I want to just speak from this verse is the mission or testifying or the gospel is received from the Lord Jesus himself. So I want to highlight that one. The third one is what takes to finish the task. And so coming back, what the gospel of grace? The gospel of grace is simply is a good news of unearned favor for the sinners. It's a gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is a good news for all of humanity, the sinners, the transgressors, and people who have been chained by the bondage of Satan, by the desire of flesh, and for these sinners who is awaiting the judgment of God. All of a sudden, God sent his begotten son, Jesus Christ, to come and die on the Calvary cross and then pay the price. And then when Jesus paid the price, and then it became a good news for all humanity. That's what does mean by gospel of grace. Praise God. Amen. Amen. There is no universal good news in this world. There is no universal good news. Like when two teams play, when one team wins, that's a good news for that country. But for the teams that lost, it's a sad news. In this world, there is no universal news. But there is one universal news. That is the gospel of the grace. And my wife and I, we serve the student ministry in 24 countries of the Southern and Eastern Africa. And for the last 10 years, we've been serving with Campus Crusade for Christ. And when we look back and what God has done through us to testify the gospel of grace, it really gives us deep joy to us. Because we have seen thousands of students give their life to Christ and then being transformed. And we've seen also the gospel of grace entering a lot of Islam communities in Africa and changing them. If I just give you some statistics, just in Africa today, every single day, 26,000 people give their life to Christ and being added to the kingdom of God. Every single day. Praise God. And then among the student ministry, where my wife and I give leadership to, just through Campus Crusade for Christ ministry alone, since this new year, since last January and up to now, 21,000 students gave their life to Christ and joined the local churches. We give glory to God for that. And the gospel of grace is winning. The gospel of grace is winning. It's changing life. And then in the last 2 years, when my wife and I moved from Ethiopia to Zimbabwe to take over, to give leadership to the student ministry, across this region of the Southern Eastern Africa, we had 107 campuses with a gospel movement, with where Jesus is known, where Jesus is proclaimed. But in the last 2 years, we've grown from 107 to 572 campuses. God is moving. The gospel of grace is winning. Amen. And if I give you one testimony of how the gospel of grace is moving, there is this Islamic University of Uganda. If you Google, you may find this university. It is built by, majority of it is financed by the late Muammar Gaddafi of Libya. And the mission of that university was to bring Christian students, give them scholarship, and then through that, teach them Quran in that university, and then eventually turn them into Muslim. That was the mission of Islamic University of Uganda. And then also a lot of Middle East investors came and helped to build that university. It's one of the top medical universities that Uganda have ever seen. But recently, here is what happened. We went to Kampala, Uganda. We trained the student, and then we thanked them. And so when a student went to the Islamic University of Uganda, they got accepted just to study their medical studies. And just one student prayed and fasted. We also mobilized prayer and fasting. And then he invited other students to go to that from Kampala. And within just 2 months, they shared Christ, and 6 students gave their life to Christ in that Islamic University of Uganda. And then we used those 6 students, and then we follow a strategy called spiritual multiplication. And through that, those 6 students shared Christ with their friend. In six months' time, they grown from 6 to 50 students. All the Muslim, those 50, they are all Muslim students. They gave their life to Christ. And then from there, in the last 2 years' time, from 6 students, from now 50, they grown into 600 students. And what happened, I was there in April in Uganda, and then when their number grew to 600, they went and approached the leadership community, the leadership body of the university, that they will get plot of land so that they will build their church in that within that Islamic university. And then the administrative body didn't allow them. Then they went to court and they won the case. And so now they could build church in that facility of Islamic University of Uganda. And then on the inauguration day, they invited the president of the university, who himself was a Muslim, and he came. And when he saw, here is the statement he made. He said, all the best students in this university, the top students, they are today sitting in this church. If this is what your church does, he said, I am totally behind you. And this is what God is doing. The gospel of grace is winning. Amen. Amen. The mission of that university is being changed now. God is winning. From that Islamic university, they even sent team to Rwanda just in August. So this is what the gospel of grace is. The second highlight I want to share is, Paul said, I received this gospel not from human being, not from any flesh, but Paul said, I received it from the Lord Jesus. Amen. It seems that, like, sometimes it seems that when we hear anyone who want to go and want to go on short-term mission, or when we actually invite a student to share, they think that they are receiving this mission from organizations, from Campus Crusade, from InterVarsity, or from church, or whatever. But the truth is, we receive the mission of testifying to the gospel, not from human being, but from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. That's the way Paul viewed it. That's the perspective he had. And so I want to encourage you, all of us today, that preaching the gospel of grace, the mission, individually, we've received it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What it takes to finish the task. I want to highlight this and then give you a little bit testimony of what the gospel of grace have done in my life personally. Also, I want to share that one. What it takes to finish the task. Paul said, I do not count my life of any value or precious to myself. That's what Paul said. To finish the gospel of grace, testifying to the gospel of grace, simply it takes unreserved commitment. It takes unreserved commitment. Why do I say unreserved commitment? Because today people can make lukewarm commitment, kind of 50-50% commitment. But to finish the task, it takes unreserved commitment. What's unreserved commitment? When you make unreserved commitment, you will be able to say like Paul, for the sake of testifying to the gospel of grace, I count my life not dear to me. I'm ready to pay the necessary price. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go to jail. I'm ready to get starved for the sake of testifying to the gospel of grace. When you do this, God will do amazing things, supernatural and extraordinary things in and through your life. Amen? That's why it takes. Today, the sad thing in the body of Christ is that we don't want to pay the price. But I want to assure you from my experience in Africa that without paying the price, you cannot finish the task of testifying to the gospel of grace. Paying the price is so, so important. They say, I read a lot of books, and they say today in China, every single day, 16,500 people being added to the kingdom of God. I don't know how it is, but I have some Chinese friend who pay daily price for Christ. I was in China, in Guangzhou, China, for a few days. I feel the pressure there. But in that kind of environment, if you are not ready to pay a reserve, to pay all the necessary price, how can you testify to the gospel of grace? Even here in the U.S., you need a reserved commitment to say no to the pressure of materialism, to say no to the pressure of secularism, and all those stuff. Just let me share one testimony of a reserved commitment that I have seen in Ethiopia. 3 years ago, before we moved to Zimbabwe, we have conducted a student conference, and then after that, four students came up. They said, Tariku, we are ready to go to any place in Ethiopia. They said, give us one town that you think it is impossible to go to. And then I gave them the town in the eastern part of the country called Awedai. The town of Awedai in Ethiopia has been there for the last 1,000 years. That town has a 1,000-year history. But in that town, you won't find any single church. There is no Christian. Even you won't find a single church, because a lot of missionaries, when they went to that town, they got killed. That's near Somali border. That's where also terrorist people, it's a kind of breeding ground for terrorism. So it is 100% closed. But these four students showed up and they said, we are ready to go and die in the town of Awedai. And then they stepped forward, and then we mobilized prayer for them. They written down and they said, if they are going to die, they are ready to die. They even returned to their parents, and then they went. When they went to the town of Awedai, they were immediately recognized by Muslim leaders and they were captured. And then the Muslim leader said, "We are not going to kill you. We are not going to even put you in jail as you've probably expected." But they said, "We want to give you a challenge." They said, "Here is the challenge. There is a man who has been on the street for the last 40 years. This man was insane. He's mad. So if your Jesus could heal this man," they said, "We want to follow your Jesus. If your Jesus cannot do, then you follow our Muhammad." And then the student said, "Okay, let's do the deal." And then the student said, "Bring the man. We want to take up the challenge." And then they called me, and then I mobilized prayer nationally. I called pastors, and all over the country, just people got on their knees and prayed. And so that night, they took the challenge, and then they prayed for this man. And as they prayed, thousands of demons came out of this man. And in the morning, this man was totally delivered. God completely healed him. And then they gave him good shower, and they had his hair cut, and they dressed him up. And then the next morning, they walked with him proudly to the town of Awedai, and thinking that now the Muslims would. But when they entered the town, when the Muslim leaders saw what happened, they didn't keep actually their promise. They didn't honor their word. Instead, they beat them up. They beat these four students up, and they chased them out of the town. And then they got the healed man. They locked him up in a room and asked him not to say a single word. But this guy was just shouting from his room. You know, being locked up, he was saying, "Jesus healed me. Jesus delivered me. Jesus is Lord." He was shouting. And then people could hear. And then they gathered around that room. And then after a week, these four students went to their university, and they even came back now. They doubled their number, and they came back as 8 students who were ready to die. And so when they came in Ethiopia, we have open market system. And so people were there, thousands of people for marketing. We don't have mall like you do here. So people came from village to do the business market. So these students surrounded them, and they shouted, and with out loud voice, they shared Christ. That day, the town of Awedai, people of Awedai could hear the name Jesus for the first time in their lives. And then after that, they were taken. Police came, and they were captured. They were beaten up, and then they were thrown into jail. Here is what happened in the jail. At midnight, there was 6 terrorists or a kind of Al-Shabaab or Al-Qaeda suspected people who were in that jail. And one of them was screaming of severe back pain, saying, "Help, help," because he has got that back pain. And then a student said, "We have help. We have the medicine. We have the cure. Come." And then when the student came, they shared Christ with him, and then they prayed for him. Immediately, the pain was stopped. And then that moment, this Al-Qaeda terrorist suspect, he gave his life to Christ. Not only him, 5 of his friends, they also gave their life to Christ. And then the next morning, the police officer of that jail, he also gave his life to Christ. And then after that, shortly we heard that those 6 were released. And then also the guy that has been locked up, he was released. And then his family, his wife, like Muslims have many wives, their children, they all gave their life to Christ. And then church, underground church of 15 members were established in the history of the town of Awedai. God just did this miracle. And then after 3 years, my wife and I recently, we traveled from Zimbabwe to Ethiopia. We were able to meet with these believers. They actually grew from 15 to 40. And they are now in the process of planting another church in the nearby town. Praise God. This is the history of when students can make a reserved commitment, that is what happens. This is how the gospel of grace could penetrate into the town that has been closed for 1,000 years. Now the light of Christ is in the city of Awedai. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And Now I want to a little bit share with you also what this gospel of grace have done in my life. Here is my personal commitment. I stand before you and speak. I made a commitment to the Lord when I was a second year student. I said one night, Lord, when I die, I don't want to die natural death. I don't want to die in the hospital bed. I don't want to die in my house bed, but I want to die on the mission field. I said, Lord, send me anywhere in the world where you want me to go. I'm ready to go to Saudi Arabia, ready to go to Iraq, Iran. I want to have that glorious days. That's martyrdom. So I made a reserved commitment. And as I speak to you, today also, I am ready to die that kind of days. And why I made this a reserved commitment? That night I was meditating on the love of Christ, how Christ transformed my life. That night I was just sitting in my room and in my dormitory and shedding my tears and meditating. Here is my short personal testimony to the gospel of grace. I was born into a polygamous family in a small town of Ethiopia. And my dad has three wives, and I had 12 half-brothers and sisters from these three mothers. My mom abandoned me at the age of one because she divorced. And so I wasn't loved by my parents, my half-brothers, and by the community. And then I was also born with asthma, and I suffered from asthma for 16 years. My early childhood was characterized by loneliness, trouble, and sickness. At the age of 13, I gave my life to Christ, and that night I was in the bed, and my dad came to my room, and he dragged me to the living room where my 12 half-brothers and sisters were waiting. And he said, Tariku, today I heard you betrayed this family. Today I heard that you gave your life to what they call this new Jesus. And he said, I give you choice. Choose between your dad and Jesus. That was at the age of 13. I told him, I choose Jesus. And then that when I said this, he beat me up. He cut my faces. My half-brothers and sister cheered him up, saying, kill him, kill him, kill him. My stepmom also did that. And then that night, he kicked me out of his house. And at the age of 13, I left my dad's house, got broken, poor, without having anything. But Jesus was there. And so for the next 6 years after that, I lived on the street. I didn't have something to eat. I suffered a lot. My dad is a businessman, and food wasn't an issue for us in my family. But then, from having plenty, I just thrown on the street. And the asthma was giving me much trouble. And then I remember one day when like I lost three of my street friends, dying one by one. And then I cried, and then the Lord gave me a kind of, I got a small job to cook for people in the kitchen. But in the kitchen also, in Ethiopian culture, for boys to cook in the kitchen, it is a shameful act. But I had to do that just to live. And I remember one day, because I was growing thin, and the asthma was kind of troubling me much, and then I was about to die. Then I came out of the kitchen, stood in the overhead sun, pointed my finger to heaven, and I said, Lord, my future is full of darkness. Now I'm going to die. Three of my friends have gone. I'm now the next one. Then came back to the kitchen, got on my knees, and again shed my tears. And as I was praying, as I was crying like a baby there, I heard the silent voice of the Lord saying, Tariku, my son, don't cry. Don't cry. It's not an audible sound, but I could hear it inside saying, don't cry. You are not without help. You asked me to take you to high school, but I will take you to university. You finish your university, you put down your degree and move on to tell the rest of the world my goodness, to share my, to testify to the gospel in the language that you've never spoken. And just today I realized that language is nothing but English, because I've never spoken English at that time. And then after that, I asked, what assurance? And then the Lord gave me two assurance of, he said, count 3 months, I'm going to heal you from this asthma. Once you got healed from asthma, count 3 months, I'm going to take you to another town. So as the Lord said on 19 of June 1994, in my church, there was a preacher who was just preaching. And so when he prayed for the sick, I felt the power of God touching my chest here. That moment, for the first time in my life, I could breathe normally. I just turned 16. I could jump. That I've never done in my life. I could run up and down in the church. It was a big celebration in my church. And then after that, God took me to another town, and I thought persecution was over, but chapter 1 was closed. Chapter 2, persecution began there. I would wake up early in the morning at 3, work very hard day and night for 4 years, carry things to the extent that my neck got broken. Here, I couldn't move like this for 4 years. And then life was so hard, and people always ask me on the street, why do you suffer like this? I would always tell them that was the price I paid to follow Jesus. And then, to cut the long story short, after 6 years of separation, one day when I was finishing my high school, my dad showed up. He came to my school, and when he saw me, the first question he asked me was, Tariq, are you alive? When I said yes, he asked me, what about the asthma? And then I said, Dad, you remember 6 years ago when I was suffering from the asthma and lying in the bed, you came to my room, you beat me up, you cut my faces, you shed my blood, you left me to death, you abandoned me. But Jesus became my dad. Jesus became my mom. Jesus became everything for me. The asthma is no longer with me. When I said this, my dad shed his tears. He shed his tears. He asked me for forgiveness, which is unusual in Ethiopian culture, for father to ask for forgiveness. And then I said, I can forgive you, Dad, because I follow Jesus, who forgives people. When I said this, he opened his arm, and he hugged me for the first time, and he kissed me, and he said, Son, I love you. That was just wonderful, because I never be loved by him. And then after that, he invited me to go back home, and then I went after 6 years. When my half-brothers and sisters saw me alive, they all gave their life to Christ that day. And then after that, shortly after that, my name was announced on the national radio that I was qualified to join university. And when my relatives heard about that, 400 of my relatives showed up to congratulate me and my dad. And then when they came, before they even said a word, I asked them just to stop. They said, I said to all of them, you remember 6 years ago when I was on the street, when I was in the kitchen, when I was abandoned, none of you gave me food. When I was starving, when I was going for 5 days without eating a meaningful food, you all deserted me. But today you thought that Tariq is making you proud. I told them, it's not Tariq, it's Jesus who is making you proud, who is making this history. And then I shared Christ with them, and at that moment, 400 of them gave their life to Christ. And then our church, from one church, multiplied into 23 churches in 6 months' time. In my hometown, Jesus was named after my name. They say Jesus of Tariku. And then after that, I joined university. I studied accounting for 4 years. And in university, 80% of my time would go to evangelism, prayer, discipleship. I would go to hospital, donate my blood, and share Christ with everyone. And then, yet in my academics, I was among the top performers. Professors would give only 2 A's from 300 students. 1 A would belong to me. And then because of that, they gave me a nickname on university. They said, for Tariku, Jesus major, business minor. And then after that, before I finished, I was approached by several companies so that I would go and work for them. One of them was Ethiopian Airlines, which is now a member of Star Alliance. They said, come and work for us. We pay you $500 per month. In Ethiopia, $500 is a huge amount of money. It would make you live like a king. And then Campus Crusade for Christ, people approached me and they said, Tariku, come and work with us. And then I asked them, how much do you pay? And they said, we pay zero salary. And then it was very hard. Then I prayed, and then the Lord said, I need you. And then after that, I joined Campus Crusade. And then now they sent me to Uganda. I did training there, came back to Ethiopia, started ministry on Jimma University with 6 students. By the time I left Ethiopia 2 years ago, Those six students multiplied from six to 7,300 students, praise God. And so this is how the gospel of grace transformed my life. That's why I commit my life to the gospel of grace. God is so good. He can qualify the unqualified people for his work. God can raise anyone from nowhere and they use for his own glory. God is so good. And that's why I'm not only ready to die to the gospel of grace, and to live, but also to die. And Jesus is so good. He is so good. Thank you so much. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Yeah. Can I just pray? Quickly pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you, Lord, that you've given the gospel of grace that transformed our lives and continue to transform others through us. I pray, Lord, today for the Atlanta Christian Chinese Church North here, that, Lord, you would bless this church, that they would continue, Lord, to love you, to walk with you, daily experience who you are, because you are so good. I pray, Lord, for this church to commit to, Lord, also testify the gospel of grace all over the world. I pray for each one of them to make a reserved commitment. Lord, not only to live, but also to die for the gospel of grace. Not only to enjoy, but also to be persecuted for the gospel of grace. Bless this church with such blessing. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.